The Rama writes in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah an important minhag that he says is something that was the practice for many, many generations, and that is that on Erev Rosh Hashanah, as well as on Erev Yom HaKippurim, and on Tisha B'Av, we have a practice that we go to the Beis HaKvaros Lihispalo. And the question is, what exactly is that about? And are there perhaps some factors that we need to be aware of when we go and visit the Beis HaKvaros to be Mispalo? So the Berhetiv writes in the name of the Maharil that the Beis HaKvaros is Kedusha Isbe. The Beis HaKvaros has some sort of elevated level of sanctity, some sort of elevated level of holiness. Shehimakom Menuchas HaTzadikim VeHatfila Mekubeles BiYoser. He says there's some sort of assumption that the tefillah is listened to more prominently when you're in the Beis HaKvaros than when a person is in a private home. Obviously, there's certainly a Kedusha in a Beis HaKnesses. One doesn't need to go to a Beis HaKvaros to find Kedusha, but there is some sort of level of sanctity. The Sefer Hasidim, which was written by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid in the 1200s, writes a lot in a number of places. He writes about his feelings about somebody who goes to visit a Beis HaKvaros, and he says, Hana Yesh Lemesim. There is some sort of benefit for the deceased when those who come to visit their kever and mevakshin al neshmasam tova, that we daven on their behalf, there is something special about that experience. So much so that the Sefer Hasidim writes, there was once a community that wanted to, for whatever reason, they wanted to leave whatever community they were in and they wanted to move somewhere else. Either the Jewish community was dwindling and they thought they would be more successful somewhere else, but whatever the reason was, they wanted to leave. And one of them had a dream one night from one of the people who was buried in the local cemetery, and he said, Al tazvu osanu ha-mesim kan. I understand that all of you want to leave to go to another place to relocate the whole community, but don't leave all of us, all those who are buried in the cemetery here, don't leave us here. Ki yesh lanu hana b'chol pam sha'atem ba'im le-beis ha-kvaros. Because we know that there is some sort of element of hana, there is some sort of benefit every time the Beis HaKvaros is visited and when people offer tefillos on behalf of those who are buried there. So this is certainly an idea that we've had for many, many centuries, for many generations. And the first indication of such a concept of offering a tefillah by a kever is really in Parshas Vayishlach. There the Torah tells us that Rachel Imenu passes away. Vatamas Rachel passes away. Vatikaver bederach Efrasa hi beis lechem. Rachel Imenu is buried right there in the middle of the road. And one would wonder, Rashi comments in the name of the Medrash, Yaakov Avinu couldn't find a place that was more appropriate than right in the middle of the road. Why is he burying his wife right there? Shouldn't he bring her to a more appropriate kever to respect her more than just to bury her on the side of the road? So Rashi quotes in the name of the Medrash that the reason why he didn't go any further is because Yadati sheyeh shebelibcha alai tarumos. I know that you're going to complain and say, it's not really fair, you should respect our mother more, and you should have buried her in the proper way, the way everybody else was buried. Aval dalecha, Yaakov Avinu says, I'll explain to you why I did this. Shal pi hadir hadibur kvarti hashama. I did it because God instructed me to do this. Why? Because shatehe le'ezra lebaneha kisheigala osam Nebuzaradan. There's going to come a generation of Jews far down the line. In the days of Nebuzaradan, they're going to go into exile. On their way out, they're going to have the opportunity to pass by on the road the burial plot of Rachel Imenu, and there she's going to be Mivakesha Saleam Rachamim. They're going to have some sort of dialogue with her, and Rachel Imenu is going to see what's happening, and then Rachel will offer some words in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then she will save them. As we are told, Kol Baram Nishma, Rachel Mivaka Albaneho. So that is the first place where we really find this idea of a communication between a human being and the deceased. This is a similar idea that we find the Gemara in Sota tells us as well. The Pasuk tells us at the very end of Chumash, we're now at the end of Sefer Devarim, we know the Torah says, Lo yada ish es kvurasa. Moshe Rabbeinu passes away. We don't assume that he lived forever, we assume he passes away. But nobody really knew the exact spot of Moshe Rabbeinu's burial plot. So the Bach there on the side of the Gemara quotes a passage from Chazal, not really clear where it comes from, but it's the Bach quoting from Chazal where he says, why did God set it up this way? Why did God not want that we should have the ability to prostrate ourselves in front of the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu? We go to so many other tzaddikim and so many other ancestors, and we go to visit the graves of so many great people throughout the generations. Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't have the same ability to do that with him? So the answer is, because God knows at that point, when Moshe Rabbeinu lost his life, God already knew from then that there's going to come a time when the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed. Ulihi galeis es Yisrael me'artzam, and the Jewish people are going to be exiled out of Eretz Yisrael. Shema yavo l'kvirasu shamosa ba'os hasha. God was concerned, maybe the Jewish people would come and visit the burial plot of Moshe Rabbeinu at that time, at that juncture in history. V'yamdu b'bechia, v'yishchananu l'moshe v'yomrlo. Maybe they're going to beg Moshe Rabbeinu to save them. And Moshe Rabbeinu, v'omid Moshe mevatel esagzera. Moshe Rabbeinu would have the ability to beseech God and to stop it from happening. And meanwhile, the will of God was that the Beis Hamikdash should be destroyed and the Jewish people should be exiled. So God didn't want that to happen, and therefore he hid the burial plot of Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, we see some sort of indication that there is this idea that we go to a kever, that we do offer a tefillah at a kever, and we do assume that a tzaddik is going to somehow get involved to help us on our behalf for whatever it is that we might be dealing with. And certainly the Torah tells us as well, Kalev ben Yefuneh, when he was part of the Atzas HaMeraglim, when he was one of the Meraglim that went into Eretz Yisrael, so we know that Kalev ben Yefuneh veers off from the path, he goes on his own to Hebron, and the Gemara tells us the reason why is because he went to Davin Halach Lehishtateach HaKivrei HaAvos. He went to Hebron in order to daven to offer a tefillah by the kever of his ancestors. So this is certainly a practice that we have a precedent for. However, the Be'er Heitev, in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, warns us that one has to be very careful when doing such a thing. So we know that there are many practices about when a person goes to a Beis HaKvaros. Certainly many have the practice to go on a yard site. I once read that Rav Avadia Yosef used to refrain from going on the yard site of his parents because he felt the reason why you go is to be a schus for the parents. And he said, the greatest schus I can have is that I teach Torah to all of my Talmidim, and that I sit and I learn. Now, not all of us are Rabbi Avadia Yosef, and that's why I think most people have the practice that you do visit the Beis HaKvaros on the day of a yard site. That is a very widespread practice. And like the Ramah writes here, we have a practice to go before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av as well. So the Be'er Heitev tells us that we have to be very concerned. Why? Because he says in the name of the Maharil, HaMispalel Akivrei HaTzadikim, somebody who is going to offer a tefillah on behalf of themselves or their community by the burial plot of an ancestor, Al Yasim Magamaso Neged HaMesim, one has to be very careful not to address the nifter themselves. Don't say that you're davening to the person who passed away. Ach Yivakish Me'Hashem Yisbarach, what do we do when we enter a Beis HaKvaros and we offer a tefillah? What exactly is the point? He says, some people mistakenly think that you're davening to the person who is deceased. But that is not the case. Says the Maharil, that is wrong, and therefore what you should do is Yivakish Me'Hashem Yisbarach. You should really offer a tefillah addressing God. Sheyitein Alav Rachamim B'Zchus HaTzadikim Shochnei HaAfer. You're asking God to please give you mercy, to please grant you some sort of salvation on behalf of the schusim of that person who is buried there. However, he writes and he warns, a person has to be very careful not to have the mistaken impression that you are addressing the nifter themselves. Because that's really not what we do. Yeah?
Two things. So, is there a
Oh, so we're going to get there. So let me first develop the theme, and then we'll see if your question still stands. Now, this is something that we need to be extremely careful about, and it's not only quoted by the Be'er Heitev, it's the Elya Rabbah, and the Chayi Adam, and the Mishnah Berurah. They all write the same thing, that one has to be very careful how they formulate a tefillah when going to daven by a Beis HaKvaros. Now, the reason why we have to be very careful is because the Rambam writes, as we know, the Yud Gimel Ikari HaEmunah, the 13 principles of faith, one of them, the Rambam tells us, is Ani Mamin BeEmunah Shleima, Shehabore Yizbarach Shemo, Lo Levado Roi Lehispalel, the only one who is worthy of being prayed to is God Himself. Ve'ein roi lehispalel lezulaso. We do not offer a prayer to anyone else. Now that doesn't only mean that we don't offer a prayer to another god. We're all God-fearing Jews. But it means we don't offer a prayer to any other being or any other entity, which includes a deceased. We don't ask a deceased to go and offer a prayer on our behalf, which one has to be careful about as well. We know that there's a practice. Sometimes when somebody has something going wrong, so sometimes the Gemara tells us that you should go to a tzaddik, and the tzaddik should be mevakish alav rachamim. So people mistakenly think you go to the tzaddik and you dive into the tzaddik. That's a mistake. That's not what happens. You're asking that the tzaddik, because we're assuming that they have so much merit, that they have so many schusim, they have some sort of communication that is closer. They're able to call in a favor, so to speak. So that's why we go to a tzaddik and we ask for a bracha. It happens to be one of the Rishonim writes a very profound insight on that Gemara. When the Gemara says you should be yelech etzel chacham v'yavakish alav rachamim, it says you should go to the Talmud Chacham, to the tzaddik, and ask them to beseech mercy on your behalf, One of the Rishonim writes, what it means is you should go and daven next to the tzaddik. You should watch how the tzaddik davens carefully and with kavana, and you should do the same. Not that the tzaddik is going to have a better tefillah than you, but if you're going to be inspired by the way he davens, then your tefillah will be answered more as well. So that's a very profound insight. I always found that very meaningful, because it gives us an opportunity not just to throw our problems to somebody else and say, now it's your issue, but to say, we have to inspire ourselves from what we watch, from what we see other people doing, from the heartfelt connection that they have. So this is something that one has to be very careful about, that we do not offer a tefillah to any other being, any other entity outside of the Ribono Shel Olam himself. And as you mentioned, the Gemara tells us, we have a prohibition of Doresh El HaMesim. That's what you're referring to, I assume, where the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, we have a biblical prohibition to be Doresh El HaMesim. Now what does that mean, to be Doresh El HaMesim, to ask a favor of a mace? What does that mean? So the Gemara describes it as a person who goes to the Beis HaKvaras, and he fasts, and he wears some special clothing, and you have a whole idea of what you want to do when you go to the Beis HaKvaras, and the idea of everything that you're trying to accomplish is that the mace should come to you in a dream and tell you something that's going to happen in the future. That, says the Gemara, is the prohibition of Doresh El HaMesim. And that is the way the Sefer Achinuch and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch explain the prohibition. The Chayyadim says, well, that doesn't only mean what the Gemara gives the example, that you go and you sleep in the Beis HaKvaras with certain clothing and you say certain things, but the Chayyadim says it applies as well to the people who go to a Beis HaKvaras, and he says, Kilu medabrim im ha-mesim ve'omrim lahem tzarosehem. He said, sometimes you go to a Beis HaKvaras and unfortunately somebody has a lot on their mind, a lot on their heart, and they'll go and start having a conversation with the person who's no longer alive to tell them, look how many tzaras I have, and look what I'm going through in life, and you try to have a discussion with them. There, says the Chayyadim, that is an extension of this prohibition of Doresh El HaMesim as well. And that's why we have to be very careful, like the Berhetiv warns us, that when visiting a Beis HaKvaras, one makes sure to direct the tefillah at the Ribono Shel Olam in the schus of the tzaddik, or the ancestor, but not that we ask a tefillah of the nifter themselves. So that's what the Chayyadim writes. The Chayyadim writes that to have a conversation with the nifter is also in some way a Doresh El HaMesim. Not even asking, just having a conversation. He says in his opinion, he says, Karav HaDavar Shehem Bechlalzeh. He says, I can't say it's exactly what the Torah meant when it said Doresh El HaMesim, but he thinks it is an extension of that prohibition as well. Now, the Rambam, as we mentioned, says, a person should always feel that God is the address, and God is the one you can always tell all your problems to and discuss everything with. So this is something that really has its roots in the Talmud Yerushalmi, where the Talmud Yerushalmi writes that when a person has an issue, you're being summoned to a court, or there's some high official that's calling you in for something. So he says you get nervous, and you have a lawyer come with you, and you have somebody who knows how to articulate very well. However, he says, Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Ken. That's not the way our relationship is with God. In Ba Al Adam Tzara, if a person has some sort of issue that they feel is bothering them in life, Lo Yitzaveach Lo LeMichael VeLo LeGavriel. The Talmud Yerushalmi says, don't go running to this malach or that malach or this mekubal or that rebbe. The answer is, you should speak to God yourself. Ela li yitzaveach. You should talk to me, God says. Va'ani ona lo miyad. If that is going to be a heartfelt discussion with God, if that's going to be a heartfelt bakasha, then God promises us that he will answer immediately, and there's no reason to find any other venues for ourselves. Now this is the reason why the Chassam Sofer and many others quote in the name of the Maharal, that you have to be very careful when going to a Beis HaKvaras, and that's why the Vilna Gaon also was of the opinion that perhaps maybe we should refrain from davening at all in a Beis HaKvaras, because sometimes it could lead us to things, to saying things that we're really not supposed to say, and it's a borderline Aveira that the Torah says, Doresh El HaMesim. This spilled over into other issues as well, such as, we know that we're going to start the Slichos this coming Matzai Shabbos, Haba Aleinu L'tova, and as we know, there's a major controversy in the Slichos. At the very end, every day of the Slichos, we say Machnisei Rachamim. We somehow have a conversation asking the Malachim to do something on our behalf as well. And this is a major question that Reb Chaim Volozhiner and others raised. Do we really have a right to ask the Malachim to do something for us? Why are we asking the Malachim? Why are we not asking God himself? And the same on Friday night. Every week when we say Shalom Aleichem, we include a paragraph that says, Baruchuni l'shalom. Why are we asking the Malachim to bless us? God is the source of all blessing in the world, not the Malachim. The Malachim are just on a mission, whatever God instructs them to do. But they don't have the ability to have a Bechira on their own to decide whether we should be blessed or not. That's all in the hands of God. And that's where Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in his Siddur that his father, the Chacham Tzvi, refrained from saying that paragraph. And many other Gedolim also felt it was not appropriate because we are not supposed to direct any of our tefillos toward any other entity beside from God Himself. And this is something to keep in mind. It's something to think about as we get into the swing of the Yamim HaNoraim, and as we think about the tefillos that we're saying, and as we mentioned, the Rama writes, we should also go to a Beis HaKvaros to remind ourselves of Yom HaMisa, or to offer a tefillah there. But when offering a tefillah, one has to be sure to direct it in the proper fashion. One has to be sure to direct it to the Ribono Shel Olam in the Schus of the Tzaddik, or the Zeta, or the Baba, or someone else, some ancestor that we may have had, but never to cross the line of offering a tefillah itself to the Mace or to the Tzaddik, him or herself. Yeah.